You about a specific practice-based research project that we have had underway for a couple of years now with our colleagues at the University of Kentucky. As you all know, that the theme of this year's meeting in APHA is all about providing, looking at public health across different borders, and certainly geopolitical borders aren't the only borders that we face in public health practice. The specific border issue that we address here are organizational borders. And as you all know, public health delivery is a multi-organizational effort. And one of the challenges that we often face in doing practice-based research on public health delivery is the fact that our organizations and our organizational structures really can differ widely across areas. And so that can complicate tasks of comparison and measurement and the kind of things that we like to do in research. So we've had an initiative underway for the past couple of years to look at a way of classifying and comparing public health delivery systems based on their organizational structure so we can get to more homogeneous, meaningful units of comparison for looking at public health delivery. Last year at this meeting, my colleague Doug Scutchfield and I presented our first round of results from that project describing this typology for classifying public health delivery systems based on their organizational structure. And today we're going to look at a specific example of using this typology to look to make comparisons of performance and outcomes across local public health delivery systems to get us beyond that old adage of when you've seen one health department, you've seen one health department. Can we get beyond that? And I want to recognize my colleague, Charlotte Smith from the University of Arkansas, who's here with me, but also Doug Scutchfield and Michelin Bendori from Kentucky, who are contributors here. I have no relationships to disclose, but I do want to certainly acknowledge the funding provided by the Robert Johnson Foundation for this work. So the overall objectives of this project were first to look at methodologies for assessing the degree of change in the organization of local public health delivery systems across the country and over time. Secondly, to look at factors that are driving change in organizational structure across communities and over time. And thirdly, look at what we can learn about the associations between the organizational structure of these delivery systems and that structural change, and what that change may mean for the performance of these systems and for the outcomes that are achieved by these systems. And today I'm going to focus mostly on that first and third objective of looking at studying change and structure over time, and then what we can learn about the associations with performance and outcomes. We, in designing the study, we really adopt the framework of the Institute of Medicine in how we define public health delivery systems as really being the full complement of organizations that contribute to the delivery of essential public health services within a defined population. So certainly our governmental agencies being very important, playing leading roles in that system, but also recognizing that many other organizations, public and private, play a role in delivering essential public health services. And again, the configuration of those roles and responsibilities can vary widely from community to community. So that raises the question of how we can make sense of that variation, and can we come up with a way of classifying systems into more homogeneous groupings for the purpose of comparison and assessment and research. Why is organizational structure important? Well, certainly we know that effective interorganizational relationships in public health delivery can really help us achieve a number of things that we're trying to achieve with public health delivery. Effective organizational relationships can really complement and extend the capacity of governmental public health agencies. They can help our agencies reach new populations, particularly vulnerable and underserved populations that may historically not be reached or covered real well by our governmental agencies. Other non-governmental organizations can bring new resources and expertise to the table, and again, to complement the work of our official governmental agencies. So all of this, if our organizational structures work well, all of this can improve quality, can maybe enhance the efficiency of public health service delivery, and potentially help us make progress toward reducing disparities. At the same time, effective interorganizational relationships aren't always automatic, and there are hazards and pitfalls and problems when you're trying to establish effective interorganizational relationships for public health service delivery. There may be, when you have multiple organizations involved, there may be lack of clarity about who's taking up certain responsibilities and what the division of responsibility and is for a certain type of service. There may be issues of duplication or competition or even rivalry in the delivery of certain services, whereas organizations have to compete for similar types of resources within communities. There may be lack of full coordination across organizations, so there may be gaps or inconsistencies in service delivery. So if our organizational structure, if we don't pay attention to organizational structure, there actually can be problems in terms of diminished quality or inconsistencies in service delivery or potentially inefficiency or waste in how we use resources across communities. So in studying the organizational structure of public health delivery systems, we drew on some conceptual frameworks that have been used pretty commonly in looking at other types of service delivery systems outside of public health, particularly looking at hospital-based service delivery systems and physician outpatient-based service delivery systems. And in those other studies that have been applied to these other service delivery systems, three major kind of dimensions of organizational structure have been identified as being very important to the overall performance of those systems. One being a dimension related to the scope of activity performed by that system, which we term diversification. So what's the overall scope of activity that is performed by the system? A second dimension related to integration, which is really gets at the breadth of organizations that are involved in that system in delivering services. And thirdly, a measure of how concentrated or diffused responsibility is within or across organizations in that system. And as we apply this construct to public health delivery systems, we look specifically at the governmental agency's role in the system versus the role of other organizations. So a measure of concentration, again, meaning how concentrated or diffuse are responsibilities within the governmental agency compared to other organizations that contribute to the delivery of public health services. So in the typology that we develop in studying in studying organizational structure of public health delivery systems, we use these same three constructs of diversification, integration, and concentration to make sense of the variability in structure across communities. The methods we use here, we based our empirical work on a national survey of local public health systems that we conducted first back in 1998, and we readministered the survey back in, 8 years later in 2006 to capture key information about the organizational structure of local public health delivery systems. So these were survey administered to a nationally representative sample of local public health officials across the country, a sample of about 500 officials. And that's using a survey instrument that originally developed by Arden Miller and Barney Turnick and modified slightly to capture some of these other dimensions of public health delivery systems. And the survey measures the availability of 20 core public health activities and the extent to which these 20 activities are performed by the local public health system. And we use that really as our measure of diversification, how many of those 20 activities are actually performed by the system. Those activities are all linked back up to the three core functions identified by the Institute of Medicine. Secondly, the survey instrument gives us our measure of concentration. What proportion of the effort in delivering those services is actually assumed by the local governmental health department as compared to other organizational contributors? The survey also gives us a measure of integration or the range of other organizations that are involved in performing each of those 20 activities in the community. And then finally, the survey instrument gives us a measure of one measure of performance, a kind of a self-assessed measure of how well these activities are actually performed by the public health system as rated by the local health official in each of these jurisdictions. So that's kind of our self-assessed measure of effectiveness or performance. Again, we administered that survey back in 98, again in 2006, so we can look at change in these dimensions over time. Link these data with a number of other secondary sources about community characteristics, public health agency characteristics from the NHO profile survey, and population health measures as well. To identify the typology of organizational structures for public health delivery systems, we used a method called hierarchical cluster analysis to identify unique groupings of public health systems based on those three dimensions of diversification, integration, and concentration. Then we used multivariate analyses to look at factors that were associated with change in those structural dimensions of delivery systems over time. We used similar multivariate regression models to then look at the association between the organizational structure of those systems and our measures of practice effectiveness and our measures of population health. This slide shows you the results from our cluster analysis that, again, was designed to identify these unique groupings of local public health systems based on those three dimensions of diversification, concentration, and integration. And we ended up identifying seven unique clusters of public health systems based on these characteristics. And you can see them here. The blue bars show the prevalence of each of these clusters in the first time period of 98, and that purple bar then shows you the prevalence, how that prevalence changed in the second time period, 2006. You can see the first three groupings of local public health systems are what we define, we apply the label comprehensive to those systems because all three of those groups of public health systems were providing a very broad array of those 20 public health activities. So they're providing a broad scope of public health services, or a comprehensive scope of public health services. But they differed a bit, those three clusters differed a bit in terms of the on the integration dimension, how many other organizations were involved in delivering those activities. And they also differed a bit in that concentration dimension as well, the role played by the governmental agency versus other agencies. We had a fourth and fifth group of public health systems that we classified as conventional because they were delivering basically a moderate scope of public health activity that closely conformed to kind of the modal scope of activity as we looked at nationally public health systems. So clusters four and five, we give that conventional label to as well. And actually, you'll see cluster 5 is the most prevalent type of cluster in both time periods. And then finally, a sixth and seventh group of public health systems that were defined as limited in their diversification or limited in the scope of activities they delivered as well. So these are basically the seven groupings of public health systems that define the majority of variation that we see in organizational structure across public health delivery systems. And so we were interested for the remainder of this analysis to look at how measures of performance vary across these public health systems, and also how measures of health outcomes vary across these systems. Do these structural classifications allow us to detect significant differences in performance and in outcomes across local public health systems? So the next couple of slides will show you our results from those analyses. In this slide, we're looking at our measure of self-assessed practice effectiveness. This is where on the survey, we actually asked local health officials in each of these public health systems to rate how well their system performed in delivering these 20 core public health activities. And as you can see from the green slide, just looking at unadjusted means on those measures, we do see significant differences across the different groupings of public health systems on that measure of self-rated practice effectiveness, with clusters 1 and 2, those two comprehensive systems, scoring the highest on practice effectiveness. Clusters 4 and 5, which were those conventional clusters of public health systems, actually scoring the lowest on their self-assessed practice effectiveness. And then clusters 6 and 7, which were our most limited public health systems in terms of the scope of activity they performed, kind of falling there in the middle. The second group of graphs there show you again, the same measure, but looking at differences after we adjust for a number of other community characteristics that differed across the public health system, adjusting for population size, age composition, poverty status, socioeconomic status, racial status as well. Even after adjusting for those community-level differences, we still found significant differences in self-assessed practice effectiveness across these different types of public health systems. And here in the bottom half of the slide there, we're using clusters 1 and 2 as kind of the reference cluster and comparing each of the other clusters to that to those first two clusters. And as you can see, we do see significantly lower ratings on practice effectiveness for each of those other clusters compared to the clusters 1 and 2, those two comprehensive clusters. The next several slides will actually show you differences in measures of population health status across these five different clusters of public health systems based on their organizational structure. And again, the bottom line is we do see significant differences in population health status across these different types of public health systems. And here, again, I'm using clusters 1 and 2, those most comprehensive public health systems, as the reference case and comparing each of the other clusters back to clusters 1 and 2. And as you can see here, using our measure of infant mortality, infant deaths per 1,000 live births here, we do see significantly higher rates of infant mortality in clusters 4, 5, 6, and 7 compared back to clusters 1 and 2. And these are multivariate estimates after adjusting for differences in community characteristics, health status, age composition, other factors that are likely to explain differences in mortality. We see significantly different rates of infant mortality across these different organizational types of public health systems. Another measure of mortality, we looked at heart disease deaths, death rates here. Again, a similar story. Significant differences in mortality, significantly higher rates of mortality in these other clusters compared to our reference cases of clusters 1 and 2. And in this case, we actually see the highest rates of mortality in those what we call the conventional public health systems of clusters 4 and 5 that offer the kind of modal rates of public health activity. A similar pattern that we see for cancer death rates across these clusters of public health systems. Influenza deaths, a similar pattern there. Highest rates of death there in clusters 4 and 5. And then infectious disease deaths as well, a similar pattern with significantly higher rates of mortality in some of these other clusters. Highest rates observed in those middle categories of clusters 4 and 5. So what have we learned from this analysis so far? First of all, I think we've learned that it is possible to characterize public health systems into relatively homogeneous groups of systems based on their organizational structure. And we do see a fair amount of change over time in the structural composition of public health agencies. As we looked how these systems changed from 98 to 2006, we did see a trend towards systems becoming more diversified, offering a broader range of services, more integrated, involving more organizations in the delivery, and in some cases more concentrated for at least some types of activities, in particular policy development activities, having the governmental agency playing a larger role on those kind of activities. We did see some other, have some findings looking at some of the factors that appear to drive some of those changes, which I didn't discuss here today. But if we looked at our findings around practice effectiveness and population health, we did see consistent findings toward the comprehensive systems reporting larger gains or larger increases in practice effectiveness over time and larger and better outcomes with respect to mortality compared to some of those other categories of public health systems. And interestingly, for a number of the mortality measures we looked at, we found the middle categories of public health systems, those moderately diversified public health systems, or conventional systems as we labeled them, seemed to fare worse than both the comprehensive systems and the more limited systems, which is an interesting finding that we're doing some more work in now to look at what may be behind that pattern of variation and outcomes. But we think that overall, I think in looking at how this typology can be used to compare performance and compare outcomes, that we think this is a potentially useful framework for detecting meaningful differences in performance and outcomes across public health systems. May have some utility in a variety of policy and practice applications, like performance benchmarking and reporting activities, like the quality improvement activities that are now being conducted around the country for public health systems, may even have some application in the accreditation activities that are moving forward for public health agencies. So I thank you very much and look forward to questions.